there, and welcome to Open Mic here on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with Russ Ward, the interim president of Maysville Community and Technical College. Thanks so much for being here.
Well, thanks, Leanne, for having me. Always a pleasure to be here.
Now, I believe the last time that we spoke, you had just been appointed as the interim president while a committee looked for someone to fill the position, and then the pandemic hit.
Yes.
And everything shifted.
Everything changed.
Agreeing to take that position turned into something you couldn't really anticipate.
No. As I've told a couple folks, I said, this is not where I expected to be. In April of 2021, I thought we would have our, you know, a new president in place, whoever that is. And, you know, I would be back in my chief operating officer role and we would be moving forward. But, you know, the pandemic, of course, you know, as it did for everyone, it kind of changed our plans and changed our focus. And I'm still here. So
I feel like, I mean, I'm taking a class right now called Educational Change, and there's all this discussion about how it's so difficult to institute change because it's hard to get people to buy in. And it's interesting because the pandemic was like, you don't have a choice. We're changing. Things have to change.
Yeah, it's, you know, I'm an old sociologist by trade, and, you know, change is a part of our world that we live in. I mean, there's constant change, no matter from, you know, from the way we live to technology. But, you know, I don't think any of us foresaw a pandemic of this magnitude that would just alter everything that we do. And education was definitely no different. And, you know, I'm impressed with higher ed in this state, especially within the community college system. You know, we pride ourselves on being flexible, and we, you know, immediately got into that phase and trying to figure out how we were going to continue to deliver, you know, quality education to our students, whether they were at home or maybe they were on campus for labs or something that they had to be there for. But it's been a challenge. But I'm so proud of the faculty and staff at MCTC. They have pulled together as a team. They've been so innovative. And, you know, I don't think they're, you know, there's, while we've all studied educational leadership at some point in our careers, you know, this isn't in there. This book hasn't been written yet, but I'm sure it will be after this is all over. I'm sure there will be a flood on the market of books on how to navigate, you know, this type of situation. And you know, I think Kentucky is probably poised to write a very good chapter or maybe the entire book on how to do it and how to do it right.
Mm-hmm. There has been a lot of innovation happening within the region, and just to make sure that the some sense of normalcy continues.
Yeah.
And all institutions had to make really tough decisions about how to operate during the crisis. But let's talk a little bit about how the future looks for MCTC, particularly. What's going to happen this summer? Are there going to be classes on campus, hybrid classes, still online? What are you guys thinking at this point?
I think we're still going to do a mix of everything this summer. I'm hoping that, you know, the governor and CPE and our systems office will allow us to open a little more. I think that I'm hoping by July we can say that we're back open. But I know for fall we're planning to come back fully open. Now, we'll still give certain students, you know, the options for synchronized learning. We spent a good deal of our CARES funding on allowing for new technology for all the faculty so that they basically could, they could teach from anywhere. And whether it was in the classroom to do the synchronized learning or whether they had to teach from home or somewhere, you know, totally away from both of those situations. But I'm excited about summer. You know, we're going to be able to do some summer camps again late in the summer that we have traditionally done. We do a career craze and kids college. Now they'll be a lot smaller and we'll still practice all the CDC guidelines and social distancing. And we're going to be wearing masks at least till the end of the year. I don't see that changing at all, but you know, we've been very fortunate through this that while we've unfortunately had some folks and students get COVID, we've had zero spread events on any of our four campuses. We have really had some pretty stringent protocols in place. So I think when it comes time for summer and fall, we're going to be ready to go. And I'm excited about getting everybody back. It's a little lonely sitting in an office somewhere and knowing that you don't see anyone or you know, you walk down the halls and the lights come on and there's hardly anyone around, but it's been that way for all of us. I mean, the universities, I talk to Dr. Morgan quite frequently and I know, you know, just hearing him talk about dealing with dorms and athletic programs. And my hat's off to him and his folks that I know that's been an issue, a big issue for them and trying to keep people safe, but you know, we're ready to go. I'll be happy to have everybody back.
Mm-hmm.
That's priority.
I do want to talk a little bit about this current semester and the fall semester too. Mm-hmm. I know at different institutions, some students really struggled with online learning. Dr. Morgan and I had discussed about the freshman class was struggling. And of course, higher education institutions always worry about retention and making sure students are academically viable when it comes to being in the classroom. And online learning is just not really doing that for some of these students. Did you see similar issues with your organization?
Yeah, we have. I mean, there's always been in distance learning those students that struggle with the technology. I think from what I've seen, a lot of the what we call traditional students that, you know, right out of high school to 23 age range, most of them are fairly computer savvy because they've been dealing with, you know, computers in their classes for 10 years now.
At least.
And so, but and again, there are a lot of non-traditional students. There have been some struggles. We have put into place a lot of tutoring and you know, advisory assistance to those students to get them through. We have on all of our campuses academic success coaches that work a lot with those students as well. So while we have seen some of those issues, you know, the faculty have basically taken the approach that, you know, it's okay, we're going to get you through this. It's an unprecedented time. I mean, we had faculty that had not done a lot of online because whether it was an allied health program or one of our career tech programs, you know, those are programs that are very hands-on.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a change for them as well. But again, as I said earlier, I was, you know, very impressed with how quickly that our faculty adapted. And I think that was an easier step then for the students to make some of those changes too. But I think, you know, for, you know, a number of our dual credit students with the difficulties of dealing with the high school situation and dealing with the situation if they're coming to us, you know, it has been a struggle for them. And you know, we're preparing for that. We know there's going to be some students that need some remediation and some foundational skills kind of, you know, strengthened or built back up. And that's okay. We'll deal with that. I'm sure Dr. Morgan alluded to this too. It's one of those situations. This has been a real learning curve for all of us, and we've had to do it together. And so while I worry about the students every day and what they're achieving and are they getting the quality education, I trust my faculty enough to know they're taken care of.
Now, here at MSPR, I've had a lot of conversations with a lot of different people in the community about vaccination participation. How is MCTC approaching vaccines for faculty, staff, and students?
Well, we have not mandated that, and I doubt that we will. You know, we have all the community colleges all have what's called a healthy at work officer. And ours is Rebecca Morton. She's the campus director at Montgomery. And she kind of oversees all of the processes that, you know, if a student gets sick or has, we have questions about what direction or who's to be on campus. And I would estimate right now that probably about 75% of our faculty and staff have received a vaccine. We held a clinic at the Maysville campus, and we had about 50 employees come to that. The Buffalo Trace Health Department came out and offered that. A lot of our nurses and our last semester RN nurses basically volunteered at a lot of the health departments and in between classes and teaching and helped deliver shots. So they came back out to help us with our folks. But we're not mandating anything. I doubt very seriously that you'll see anything from KCTCS that ever mandates. You know, we kind of look at that as an individual choice, but we've highly encouraged and, you know, stressed the importance of that. And most of our folks have, you know, the opportunity came, you know, they went and got their vaccine. And there'll be some that won't, and that's their choice. You know, my hopes is that, you know, they don't get sick or something happens. But again, you know, that's, for us, it's one of those individual choices, and you have to decide whether you're going to do this or not.
Now, I want to talk about some of the initiatives that are coming up in the future for MCTC, but first we're going to take a quick break here on Open Mic. We'll be right back after this.
The Best of Car Talk is back on WMKY.
Well, I'm planning a grand road trip in my 64 Dodge Dart convertible. Now, my brother's offered to follow along with a pickup load of spare parts. I just wondered if you could advise me as to what spare parts he ought to carry.
Another Dodge Dart.
The Best of Car Talk, Saturday mornings at 10, Sunday mornings at 6 on WMKY 90.3 FM.
And we're back here on Open Mic here at Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're talking with the interim president of Maysville Community and Technical College, Russ Ward. Thanks again for being with us.
Oh, thanks, Leanne. Glad to be here.
Now, the 2021 legislative session just ended, and as always, that impacts Kentuckians in so many different ways, but particularly higher education institutions definitely had their eye on Frankfort this year, because when they make decisions, it can really change a lot of things for the different institutions. So how did this legislative session impact MCTC?
Of course, it was unusual having just a year session instead of, you know, the typical biennium. But I don't really think it had a negative impact on us. You know, for the first time in a long time, we're not getting a cut to higher education. So that's, you know, that's, we view that as a win, and very appreciative to the legislature and the governor for, you know, not seeing the need to cut higher ed. There were some things that I would like to have seen happen. Of course, you know, I think any of the institutions would like to see more funding pumped into higher ed. You know, as times change and, you know, we become more, I don't want to say technically challenged, that's probably not the right term, but it is in a sense that, you know, industry and business and the world is changing constantly, and universities and colleges have to keep up with that. And for Maysville Community and Technical College, for us, I mean, we're all about a flexibility, and, you know, while we still deal with the sciences and STEM and liberal arts and all the things at a traditional college, you know, we still deal with a lot of technology. And as you know, the computer world is constantly changing. So is the technical world. And for us to continue to do what we do, we have to meet industry standards or exceed them to train these students. So when they go to an industry, they have all the foundational skills they need, plus what that company is going to need to help move them forward. So I was pleased that we didn't see a cut this year. I think with some changes in performance-based funding, where for the community colleges, we kind of have a floor now. We won't go below our regular budgets, but we'll basically be working towards some extra funding, which is nice. So I don't think MCTC will be hurt there at all. I think, you know, we do very well with performance-based funding. And we should be held accountable. You know, I have no problem with performance-based funding. I think that universities and colleges need to be held accountable for what they do. And we want to be good stewards of taxpayer money and not waste it. So I don't have a problem with that. I was glad to see that we got to keep a dual credit at 40% and it wasn't lowered because, you know, that's a great program for high school students to be able to take college courses while they're in high school. But someone still has to make up that 60% and we have to basically make that up out of our budget. So it was nice to see that that wasn't changed. I was trying to think of any other bills that impact us. That there was a bill that was, I can't remember the number, but it was basically dealing with conceal and carry that would basically have allowed students to carry on campus. And, you know, the university presidents, KCTCS president, I know a lot of the university police departments and stuff were not for this, and it did not pass. So we were pretty pleased about that. You know, we want our colleges and universities to be safe places. And we just didn't feel like that would help with that. So I was kind of glad to see that.
Now, the I do know that MCTC has a lot of things that they're looking at for the future. This, you know, bringing it a little back to the campuses. Mm-hmm. There is an initiative that I was interested in hearing about, the Fresh Start Initiative, which is a debt forgiveness program. That's not something that you hear a lot of colleges participating in.
Yeah, we've had a couple unique programs. Yeah, the Fresh Start program is just what you said. It's kind of a debt forgiveness. You know, we've got students that, you know, a lot of times life gets in the way. And for whatever reason, they have left school and, you know, they still owe the college some money. And this is a way basically that a student that does owe some funding can come back. We basically are going to give them, I think it's anywhere from $500 to $1,000 to help with that debt forgiveness. And of course, some of the CARES funding has helped with that as well. So this is a real opportunity for students who have, you know, started and for whatever reason didn't come back and owed some funds, owed some tuition, that they basically can come back with a fairly clean slate and get back on track and move forward. So I'm really excited about that program. I think it's a wonderful opportunity for folks. Of course, we still have programs like our tuition guarantee, which you come out of high school and you know, you keep that grade point average up at the end of your time with us. You get that 2-year degree. Any out-of-pocket expenses, we basically give you that money back. So it's kind of like a reverse scholarship. So there's multiple opportunities for students to come back now, finish degrees or get started, and really little out-of-pocket expense. I mean, this is a golden opportunity in higher ed in general to come back to school and you know, get back on track and to better yourself and better your family. And ultimately, it betters all of us. It betters the communities that we live in. Yeah. You know, the more we can get people in and get them into a program and get that degree, it helps us all.
I feel like a lot of institutions, well, everybody kind of is just trying to tread water during this crisis, but Maysville Community and Technical College is actually instituting some new programs coming up, which is really exciting. CDL, Physical Therapy Assistant, Accelerated HVAC, and Industrial Maintenance. I mean, it's surprising that you are launching new degree opportunities or certification opportunities.
Well, as we looked at a lot of our programs, we basically looked for, especially in talking about the accelerated programs, you know, how can we get students through quicker with the same quality education and with the same credentials in less time? because a lot of our students, especially if they're non-traditional students, they come back because they've lost a job or they want to kind of retrain and find a new career. And, you know, they may not have 2 or 3 or even 4 years to complete any type of degree. So they want to get in, they want to get out, but they want to be trained and be able to get a job. So the accelerated programs have kind of shrunk everything from that 2 year down to basically a year, 12, it's 12 months, not just 2 semesters, it would be 12 months. And they'll go 8 week courses, and where they may have had 12 credit hours stretched out over the whole semester, now it's broken down into blocks. So they may only have 2 classes, but they focus so intently on those 2 classes that they, in what we're finding is they're actually doing better than the students that took the class over the whole semester, because they're so hyper-focused on just 2 areas instead of 4 or 5. And we've had some real success with that. Our HVAC program, especially at Montgomery, which has kind of taken the lead on this, Adam Hawkins, who's the head faculty member there for that program, has seen some real success with his students coming out of the program and going right to work. And, you know, we all want our air conditioners and heat to work. So, you know, these people are valued in communities and even within industry, you know, dealing with the large chillers and controls that operate manufacturing and all of that. These folks, whether it's industrial maintenance or HVAC, can get out there and go to work a lot quicker. With the new programs, CDL, we've had a real interest in our service region, 19 counties that we serve traditionally, for CDL drivers. And so we implemented a CDL program this spring. We had a little bit of a stumbling block because a lot of the courthouses were closed and weren't issuing the CDL exams. So we've kind of had to, you know, hold off a little bit, but that program is going to be one of those that does very well, kind of like our lineman program we started a few years back. Mm-hmm. And the PTA program, I am really excited about that. That's one of the few in the area. The folks that accredit PTA programs only accredit 7 programs a year. So it's very difficult. So Dr. Prater, Mary Alice Prater, who is the coordinator and director of that program, has worked tirelessly with the provost and some of the other division chairs and academic folks to get this program up and running. And it's, you know, we've already had a waiting list for it. I mean, it's ready to roll. They've got a beautiful lab facility in Montgomery County. So I think that's going to be a tremendous help and impact, especially for healthcare region. And we got some other things in the hopper that we're working on. So, you know, we haven't sit on our laurels while this is going on. We've continued to move forward and, you know, planning for the future. I didn't want us to be stagnant while we were waiting. And, you know, again, the team at the college just said, no, we need to move forward. And they've been on board and some great things like these 4 programs are happening and more to come.
Wonderful. Well, it's always good to hear about new things that are going to be offered to students within the community. And unfortunately, that's all the time we have here on Open Mic. Russ Ward, interim president of Maysville Community and Technical College, thanks so much again for spending time with us.
Always, Leanne, anytime.
Thanks for tuning in to Open Mic. Our show is produced by Greg Jenkins, and our theme music is Turtle in the Creek, composed by Galen Green and performed by The Wooks. Produced by Moorhead State Public Radio with the generous support of listeners just like you. We'll see you next Friday.